All right, I think we're going to start now. Somebody's finding one of our other speakers. We've lost them momentarily. But we'll start. My name is Stefan Filippa. I am a member of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. And first and foremost, I'd like to let people know that if you need to go to the bathroom, it is through the exit sign at the rear of the room. And the second thing I'd like to say is thank you for everybody who's coming out tonight. Thank the Transat Club for providing a great forum to have this in. And of course, I'd like to thank the speakers, Brian Palmer, Nyman Klein, and later in the evening when he arrives after his math class, he's teaching Peter Rosenthal, counsel for John Clark. The way the evening's going to go is I'm going to moderate, and Brian Palmer will speak, and Niall McLean will speak, and depending on the arrival time of Peter Rosenthal, he will speak, or in between time, we'll show a movie that was made by Judy Kosh, an OCAT member, about the events of June 15th and the trial, and then after that movie, Peter Rosenthal will say a few words about matters regarding the trial. Today marked the first day in the second trial of John Clark, and John Ford faces two fairly serious charges. He faces counseling to participate in a riot and counseling to assault police. And I think, as everybody knows, these charges stem out of the events of June 15th, 2000, OCAP's march on the legislature. And to have everybody on the same page, I'm going to briefly sketch out the circumstances of the day for those who were there or are well-versed in what actually happened that day. Excuse the repeat of historical events, but I will sketch it out for people who maybe don't know all the details. On June 15th, more than 1,000 people assembled in Allan Gardens and marched to Queen's Park, the seat of democracy in Ontario, so-called democracy, and came with a very simple demand. We had a delegation of poor and homeless people that were prepared to make a statement to the legislature while it was in session. We had a series of demands around housing, increasing welfare benefits, repealing back some directly anti-poor legislation called the Safe Streets Act and the Tenant Protection Act. And we marched to Queen's Park. We had the delegation go forward to the barricades, made the formal request of being admitted. Unsurprisingly, we were rebuffed, at which point John Clark made a statement explaining the fundamental disrespect visited upon us by the refusal of the delegation being let in. And at that point, asked that the demonstration move forward and press for their right to be heard in a meaningful way, and to insist upon the right to be heard. And at that point, the barricades that were there collapsed. They were held together with flex cuffs, and they collapsed quite easily. The row of riot police that were stationed directly behind those barricades retreated and emboldened the crowd to move forward and occupied that space and move forward to the inner set of barricades, where some people in the crowd began engaging to a limited degree with the police and pulled away some other sections of the barricade. Simultaneously, what occurred next was two events that happened simultaneously. One, an unknown individual threw a Molotov cocktail or some sort of firebomb over the police lines onto the front steps of Queen's Park, and simultaneous to that, the mounted unit, the Metro Police mounted unit, was deployed in order to peel the demonstrators away from the front of Queen's Park, essentially riding the horses directly into the crowd. Emotions already high were heightened by this act. People began striking back at the horses and generally trying to hold their ground. And what developed after that was a relative degree of calm in which a quite spirited standoff took place with a line of demonstrators facing off against the line of police. A short period of this took place when the commander of the public order unit, one Wes Bryan, gave the order to clear the grounds of Queen's Park. And what happened at this point was the police made what amounted to a full frontal assault on the demonstrators. Rows of riot police charged the demonstrations, swinging batons, and then over the next hour, multiple charges and multiple mounted unit charges rode into the crowd trying to force people off Queen's Park. About an hour of this, they were successful, and the demonstration was effectively ended. In all, about 50 people were arrested, both on the day and after the day. And about 1 month after the day, myself, Gaetan Haru, and John Clark were arrested in the early hours of the morning, charged with participating in a riot and the charges that we faced. Essentially, the case being that we were singled out as the ringleaders, the orchestrators of the riot, as it were. In January of 2003, our trial began. The Crown put forward thousands of hours of video evidence of the day and thousands of hours of police testimony. Their case was somewhat straightforward. We were responsible for everything. We organized everything. Everything was premeditated. Everything that happened that day was simply part of what we wanted to happen. Our defense was simple and political. And I think quite solid. We said that we organized a militant and uncompromising demonstration, one that was called for, one that was justified in light of what was going on in Ontario and what remains, what continues to go on in Ontario. And the violence that took place was none of our doing. There were a number of factors that we were not responsible for. And 5 months of the trial went on. At the end of 5 months, the jury retired to start deliberating. And after 5 days, they came back to the judge and said they could not even agree if a riot had taken place that day. Pressed to continue, they tried and couldn't, and the judge declared a mistrial. About a month after the mistrial was declared, a retrial announcement was made. We were called up before a judge, and Paul Calver, the head of the Crown, stayed the charges against myself and Gaetan Haru on the basis that there wasn't a reasonable likelihood of conviction. However, decided to persist and have another trial of John Clark based on the fact that he himself seemed to have organized a full-on assault of the legislature that day. That was the reasoning for going on. It's my firm belief that John Clark is not on trial for anything that he did that day. John Clark is on trial because of who he is and what he believes. He is somebody who has dedicated his entire life to the struggle of the disenfranchised against the interests of wealth and privilege. What he believes is that to be successful in the struggle, we must be persistent and we must defy and disrupt the institutions that maintain the regime of poverty that so many people in Ontario suffer under. John Clark is a staunch anti-capitalist, but he's not on trial because he's an anti-capitalist. He's on trial because he's an effective anti-capitalist organizer. That is why he's on trial. This last point for me is extremely important. Obviously on a political level, but also on a personal level. When I was a teenager, I left home at an early age with my brother, going off into the world to try to find a better life for ourselves. And we worked endless crappy jobs, putting ourselves through high school, and lived in the remote, the deepest, darkest remote sections of Mississauga in really smelly basement apartments. And through that time, we together became politicized and we became subscribing to every left-wing magazine or revolutionary newspaper that we could and read them and pored over them. But we were extremely isolated. There was nobody around that we could work with, there were no organizations, and we didn't know very much about the organizations that did exist. And one night, I turned on the news, and they were covering a story of an OCAP demonstration. I believe it was a demonstration against the city trying to implement finger scanning of welfare recipients. And I was floored by what I saw. I saw regular, everyday people standing up, almost larger than life, shouting down bureaucrats and politicians. And I was inspired. It filled me with a sense of hope. It filled me with a sense of purpose. And over the years, it led me to eventually join OCAP and struggle with OCAP up until this day. There are so many people who are isolated. There are so many people that go from day to day knowing that there's something wrong with the world that they live in and wanting to get involved in the struggle, get involved in the fight. We also live in a world that is increasingly defined by apathy, mediocrity, boredom, and economics. And in the face of this, we have a long and noble tradition of resistance that is eroding. There are so few avenues now for those people who are isolated, for those people who need to fight back and who want to fight back. And what this trial is about is the criminalization of John Clark, by extension, the criminalization of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and by extension, the criminalization against struggle for housing and for dignity and the things that we need to survive. We cannot allow them to erode that noble tradition that we hold so dearly. They are trying to, and they're trying to, in this particular instance, by repeatedly trying John Clark, by painting John Clark as the most evil of people. Okay. And we cannot let them succeed in doing so. John, for so many years, has pulled for us, and I think in this instance, now more than ever, as he faces trial alone, we have to pull for him. So with that, I will say I want to thank the speakers for coming, and I'll ask Brian to start off, and then I'll ask Miami to continue.
It's very much an honor to be here. I want to